As we start this first Sunday in Lent, this journey through the wilderness, it's appropriate that our scripture comes from Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. Hear God's word. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wild. For 40 wilderness days and nights, he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when the time was up, he was hungry. The devil, playing on his hunger, gave the first test. Since you're God's son, command this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. And Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to really live." For the second test, he led him up and spread out all the kingdoms of the earth, all on display at once. And then the devil said, "They're yours in all their splendor to serve your pleasure. I'm in charge of them, and I can turn them over to whomever I wish. Worship me, and they're yours. The whole works." And Jesus refused, again backing his refusal with Deuteronomy. "Worship the Lord your God and only the Lord your God. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." For the third test, the devil took him to Jerusalem and put him on top of the temple. And he said, "If you're God's son, jump. It's written he's placed you in the care of angels to protect you. They'll catch you. You won't so much as stub your toe on a stone?" "Yes," said Jesus, "and it's also written, don't you dare tempt the Lord your God." That completed the testing. And the devil retreated temporarily, lying in wait for another opportunity. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. This week, I saw an interesting article, and maybe you saw it too. It was titled, "Siblings Find and Return 13K and Get Criticized." It was written by Suzanne Clark of the ABC News blogs. And she wrote about how this brother and sister, Ryan and Katie Moy, they have been the toast of their Eugene, Oregon community this week because they found $13,000 in cash on the street, and they returned it all to their rightful owner. Ryan Moy, who's 26, he told ABC News that they've gotten all kinds of praise, but strangely, not everyone has been so congratulatory. He said, "We've had mixed comments, you know, from people telling us, well, we should have kept it, that we made a mistake, telling us no one would have ever found us out." And the pair happened upon that money on Monday afternoon. They were driving along a busy road in Eugene when they saw this bank deposit bag out in the street. And they stopped, they opened it up, and they saw this thick wad, if you can imagine, this thick wad of $100 bills inside. And Ryan said, "Well, we were both kind of, well, we were speechless for about 3 or 4 minutes, our hearts racing. But we both figured that somebody had probably lost it. Their father, Eric, lived nearby, so they took the money to him because they thought he'd know what to do." And Eric Moy said, he was in the shower when his kids stopped by. He said, "I heard them in the living room screaming, 'Dad, we found $13,000! And in addition to the cash, the bag also contained a slip indicating that the total amount of the cash as well as the checks were made out to Reliable Credit Association, which is an Oregon-based consumer finance company. And so Reliable has an office that's not far from Eric Moy's house. And in fact, Eric Moy happened to know the manager, so he offered to take the money over there that afternoon. And he still remembers going into the office and he says, So, Kyle, you missing something?" Talk about an understatement, right? He said, "I handed him the bag and he just kind of turned white." Well, Ryan Moy the brother, has a fiance, and he also has a six-year-old daughter. And he admits that he and his sister daydreamed briefly about what they would do with that kind of money. I think that's probably pretty normal. Sort of like when we imagine, you know, what if we won the lottery, right? You know, we all have these fantasies. Oh, what would it be like when things are tight to have a windfall of $13,000? And he's starting up a new business, and his sister's in college, and not only that, but recently her laptop had been stolen, which she needed to get her college education. But interestingly enough, they found that their good deed is already being repaid. For example, the Reliable Institution, they gave them each $200 Visa gift card. And then, since that, both of them have received job offers. And to put the icing on the cake, the sister has even had her laptop replaced as a gift. So it's interesting how those things kind of work themselves out. Brother went on to say, you know, we actually feel great. I mean, people told us how proud they are of us, and with the job offers and my sister getting a new MacBook, it's been a really great experience. We both feel great for turning the money in. And their father is one of those cheering them on, and for a rather special reason. He said, I'll be honest, my kids have had their bumps. They've both been through rehab, so a couple of years ago, that money might not have made it into my hands, he said. So it was really a wonderful thing. It meant all the more knowing what they'd been through and knowing the results. And both of these kids were in rehab for alcohol addiction. And the son, Ryan, agrees with his dad. He says, at that time, I honestly probably would have kept the money. And, you know, that's something that you know. I would really like to have, something I'd really like to be said here is, because a lot of recovering addicts get looked down upon or judgments are made, but this is the kind of example that my sister and I were able to set. Just because you've had troubles in the past doesn't mean that you're a bad person, and you know, people can turn around. Pretty powerful, right? The thing is, you know, every single one of us can have these highs and lows. Last week we were talking about this big high, this mountaintop experience with Jesus and his disciples. And funny thing is, very often when we've had those mountaintop experiences, they happen just before we find ourselves in the greatest wilderness of all. Every single one of us goes through tests in our lives. And where it becomes difficult in a wilderness experience is if you don't know who you are or what you really want in life. It's kind of like trying to hit a bullseye when you don't have a target. If you don't know where you're headed or what's really important or what you need, how can you know what choices to make? This story of the brother and sister touches on a lot of things in our own lives. Every single day we are faced with temptations. The interesting thing about that first temptation of Jesus, of turning the stone into bread, you know, he could have justified it, right? There's always a slippery slope. He'd been out there in the desert for 40 days. He was starving. Didn't God want him to have bread? He could be telling himself, God would want me to have a good meal. But instead, he remembered that God hadn't called him just to look out for himself. He'd called him to look out for others. And he knew that if that was the case, that if he gave in to temptation, he'd be blowing the whole thing. That God would provide for him in his own timing. And one of the trickiest things for us is dealing with those temptations that we can justify somehow, that are not really bad in and of themselves. Then there's that second temptation. Satan's laying out this whole kingdom. You can be the boss of it all. one commonality between all three of these temptations is the ego in all of them. We all want to feel powerful. We all want to feel in control of our lives. We all want to feel good about ourselves. And wow, being the king of the world, that sounds like that would kind of solve it all, doesn't it? Now, it's kind of doubtful that the devil could have actually delivered on any of that, or would have. But it had to have been a really big temptation. And then we see the third, taking risk, a huge risk with his own life, just to show what God could do. That's another one that we could argue as a slippery slope. You know, he could have said to himself, well, I'm just showing off God's power if I say to this. I'd just be showing what God can really do. But in each one of those, no matter how tempting they were to him, no matter how vulnerable he might have felt in that moment, he said no. He said no. And he stuck to what was true and honorable and what God was calling him to do. But you have to know what that is. You have to know in your heart of hearts that what God wants for each of us is the best for each of us, the best choice. And so often we feel like we've got to be the ones making the decisions. We've got to be the ones calling the shots. We've got to be the control of our own destiny and everything going on. And there's this point of just doubting whether God really has our good intentions in mind. There's an interesting thing about this story of the Moys. Is when they felt that temptation, they owned it. They talked about it. But it's also interesting that the article says that they went to the Father because they knew that he would know what to do. Well, in a symbolic sense, that's the same with us. We have to have that same kind of trust in our Father. That as the questions come up, the temptations come up, that our Father will know what to do. There's this great story about a dog. Leslie Duncan, he tells about when he was a kid how he had a dog that his father trained. And one of the ways that he would keep that training sharp was he would put a piece of meat out for the dog. And then he would tell him no. So the dog could not go and get that piece of meat. Funny thing is about that dog, Duncan said that the dog never looked at the meat. Instead, he kept his eye right on his master. That's what we have to do. When we feel those times, when we're tempted to make a bad choice, we need to keep our eyes on the master. There are always going to be these things out there that are tempting us, that are pulling us in different directions. But in all things, we've got to keep our eye on the master. In addition to that, we need to support each other. Sometimes people say, well, why do we even need church? You know, I believe in God. I read my Bible. I study my scripture. So, you know, why? And part of it is because we need that support for each other, so that when we hit those times of challenge and struggle, that we have voices who are supporting us. It's been one of the strengths of AA over the years, is that they provide that support and that help, that encouragement when we're out struggling and in pain and tempted. The other thing that we have to realize is that when we're in those wilderness experiences, it's not because God doesn't love us. One of the things we see now that worries me, frankly, about parenting is the parents who have to protect their children in every single way and never allow their kids the opportunity to be stretched and to deal with difficulties and challenges. And by overprotecting them, they prevent them from growing. They prevent them from developing the strength that they need to deal with the real world. One of the big blessings growing up was that I was allowed to face a lot of challenges. And every single one of them not only made me stronger, but gave me the confidence when I got on my own that I could do it and that I could succeed. So when God allows us to go through those wilderness experiences, they're opportunities. They're opportunities for us to be tested and to come through even stronger. But I want to encourage you about something else. Just as in this story, these two young people who fought and succeeded over that temptation, they had a history and a past of failing with their temptations, of giving in to their temptations. And sometimes we can become discouraged when we fail. We can throw up our hands and use that as an excuse to just give up. And part of the reminder to us is we can never give up. Whatever you're fighting right now, whatever your past may be, whatever your future may be, don't give up. And don't be afraid because you failed in the past. That doesn't mean you'll fail in the future. You just keep taking a step at a time and keep going forward. And also remember that even as you hit those really tough times, they can be a gift to you. They can help you in strengthening your resolve. They can help you in going forward. There's a wonderful woman by the name of Nina Mason Bergman who struggled for many years with multiple sclerosis. And she wrote a book about her experiences, a book of meditations. And it may surprise you to hear that in that book, she actually expresses gratitude for her MS. She says that it has really stretched her, but it has taught her so many things as well. And she uses the analogy, she says that she has a home that's set sort of back in the woods. It's nestled about, a mile off the main highway, and the only way she can get to her home is over a gravel road. Well, any of you who've ridden on a gravel road know that it's a bumpy ride. It's not smooth. But when she heads for home, she's glad for that road because it takes her home. And she says that I have discovered in having less of me, I've gained more of the Lord, which she says I consider a good trade. Those difficulties, those challenges, she said, have helped remove me and have helped fill me with God instead. She says that some people discover a faith, a peace, and a joy in the wilderness that they would never have found anywhere else. That's what this time is about. In the coming weeks, we're going to be reminded of the wilderness journey and the gifts to be found in the wilderness, the gifts to be found in our faith, the gifts to be found in our Lord. He gave so much that each of us might have life, a life that we're only beginning in our journeys to discover. Know that no matter where you are in your journey, He's there alongside, and He'll bring you through to the other side. Let us pray. Almighty God, we want You. We want You to guide us and show us the way. We want You to make us strong and to show us our real purpose. We pray all this in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.